Here's a question. How honest should our politicians be? Essex-based MP James Cleverly has attracted a crowd of new admirers after admitting to smoking marijuana, yes, shock horror, and viewing porn, if you please. The MP admitted to having had a little dabble of marijuana, as he put it, as well as watching online pornography. And after a clip of the interview went viral, Cleverly has seen an influx of praise on social media for his honest approach. And he's a Tory MP as well. What do you think? Is there such a thing as being too honest? Does it make voters view elected representatives differently? We're joined by former MP Lembit Opik and journalist Angela Epstein. Refreshing honesty, Angela, would you say?
Well, let's just start by saying that James Cleverly began this interview by wondering aloud whether he was going to, quote, kiss my political career goodbye. So one wonders in this particular situation whether he did have one eye on the headlines and one eye on causing a little bit of a stir. I mean, he's known amongst his constituents in Braintree as being a, quote, colourful character. And also he's doing this sort of when the next election is 5 years hence. So I can't imagine just that he would do this kind of interview, you know, with a couple of months to go before the country went to the vote again. I mean, look.
Yeah, but there must be many, many MPs who had a puff of pot or marijuana or whatever, but they don't want to go public on it, and they might have even watched a bit of pornography too, and they're not going to talk about that either. It's sort of hypocritical standards which we apply to representatives, which somehow makes, you know, when they pontificate, slightly less hard to take, doesn't it?
I agree with you. And the thing is that when you are in public life, as you know, Connor, if you put yourself up there, so you're called to account for what you do. Now, if he hadn't admitted that he'd dabbled with marijuana, then somebody, or he'd said, no, I've never taken drugs, undoubtedly, at some point, somebody would have come forward that was at university with him who said, well, what about this picture? We've got him sitting cross-legged on the floor having a puff. Not saying that exists, but I'm just using it as a potential anecdote. And by the same token, you know, he could have been at a stag party or somewhere. There's a whole group of mates sitting around watching porn. I've no idea what the situation was. Again, you know, we chronicle our lives digitally so much now. And even if this was 20 years ago, something would have come out that would have proved that what he was saying was wrong. So I don't think he had any choice but to answer those questions honestly. And I think we do expect honesty from our politicians. I mean, this was a fairly fatuous interview. I mean, it was supposed to be slightly irreverent. It wasn't Newsnight, for goodness sake. It was a kind of, you know, a quirky...
Yeah, but the reason we're discussing it, Lembit, is that it's a rare sort of admission for an MP to make this sort of thing, despite the fact that many of them will have shared these little dalliances in the past themselves. I mean, did you smoke joints? Did you look at porn online? I mean, would you go public on it yourself?
Well, I'm not an elected representative. You must remember that now. The fact of the matter is, if I had smoked cannabis and done those things, I would have had no problem talking about it. The problem is, Angela sums up the difficulty. I would have imagined that a journalist would be delighted that we have an honest politician who's made two fairly mundane confessions. But instead, we get this curmudgeonly approach. I like you, Angela, but it's so curmudgeonly for a member of the press to judge a politician for telling the truth and to judge his mood.
I wasn't. I was commending him for his honesty.
Well, Lembit, would it win or lose you votes? Let's face it. I mean, MPs first and foremost want to get re-elected, and most of them worry that being too honest about their past in issues such as drugs or porn is going to lose them votes. Do you think that is in fact the case?
Yes, I think it is the case, but it depends on whether you're a hypocrite or not. That's the $64,000 question. I think as Jeremy Corbyn has said repeatedly, the media have become lamentably cynical in this country. But if people feel they've got the real thing, and whether you agree with Corbyn or not, no one questions his sincerity, it's acceptable. If you look at people like Alan Clark, he had an incredibly colourful life, but he got away with it because he wasn't a hypocrite. It only goes wrong when you're a hypocrite. I think Boris could say just about anything he jolly well wants, and people would find him more popular. The difficulty is that when you've got a minister, for example, or a government who says we must ban drugs and it's all wrong, and then it turns out they were using drugs themselves at school or at college. That's the difficulty.
Well, I mean, is he on a bit of a publicity trip? I mean, Lembit, I mean, you'd know a bit about that yourself, how to get yourself in the papers, wouldn't you?
Never knowingly undersold. Yes, that's right. The fact of the matter is, I tended to tell it like it is. I didn't conceal my relationships or anything else. And the press had a field day. They loved to libel me. I've had so many successful press complaints upheld against the media But the fact of the matter is, this is the heart, the point. Do we want politicians who are honest and human and therefore fallible, or do we want politicians who pretend they've never done anything wrong? If we want to be run by saints, we need to wait for the second coming. If, on the other hand, we want people who are real, then people like Mr. Cleverly, whatever his motives, are doing the right thing because they prove that politicians have some grasp of the human condition and the state that everybody else.
Angela, even people just generally in the public eye feel quite uncomfortable being honest about issues such as
this. Look, first of all, I must say, don't shoot the messenger. You know, it's not the fault of the press if politicians have colourful lives which can be held at account when put under scrutiny and upon further investigation. And let's also bear in mind, in terms of honesty, look at the story out today about how Downing Street staff digitally recalibrated a picture of David Cameron on the Facebook page to apply a poppy to his lapel. So, you know, talk about reinterpreting things and being honest. They're suggesting that David Cameron was preparing a poppy when he wasn't for that particular Facebook page and didn't claim that he was either.
Angela, on that one, I 100% agree with you. That's exactly the kind of thing you, as the media, are right to highlight.
But hang on a second. Sorry, Lambert, I hadn't finished, if you don't mind. Sorry.
Quick, yeah.
But all I was going to say is that where this is concerned, look, you can spin your honesty any which way you want. He could have said, James Cleverly, I did take marijuana at university. I did have a dabble. And that's why I am so anti-drugs now. I remember what it did to my head. I wouldn't go near the stuff now. You know, you can use honest revelations about your past for good effect without fearing of being monstered on social media.
Okay, let's flag down Robert the taxi driver. Robert, what are your views on this?
Good morning, Connor. Nice.
Hi there.
A nice voice on the airwaves.
You're very kind, sir. Thank you very much indeed.
I'd like to say very clearly, politicians are like taxi drivers, are public servants.
Okay.
Okay, and you should be in that line of occupation as a politician or a taxi driver. You should be 100% honest. And if you're not 100% honest, you shouldn't be in the job.
But if you get your seat taken out from under you, you can see how people might wish to be a bit discreet about what they've done in the past, Robert. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yes, I understand what you're saying, but there's so much wrongs going over the airwaves about politicians getting expenses and this, that, and the other. They're not showing a good example to the general public because the public don't have a lot of faith in politicians.
Well, OK, let's bring back our
politicians. They see politicians just in it for the money.
OK, thank you, Robert. Thanks, as ever, for your contribution. Let's bring in Lembit. I mean, you were an MP, yeah. Lembit. I mean, you must have tried to dodge stuff.
Basically, I had a very simple view. If the press weren't responsible about the information, then they couldn't have it. That was my view. On the other hand, I didn't set out to tell lies or anything else. It's interesting. To me, it's very simple. I think the taxi driver's right. I want honesty, but I don't expect perfection. That would be my mantra. Now, turning to what Angela said about the drugs issue, you said that if James Cleverly then said that therefore he realised drugs were bad, that would be an acceptable outcome. Why does he have to say that? Why could he not say that he has a different perspective on British drugs law because he himself broke the laws? So it's not just going with the fashion. Some of the best politicians have done things which are counter to fashion and sometimes counter to the law, but they can explain why they've done it. For me, the big question is, do we have a mature enough media and a mature enough public to accept that politicians who have had these wider experiences might be better politicians? I apply that to myself as well. I was naive. I thought that if I just told everybody everything, posed for the shots with my cheeky girlfriend and everything...
You looked like you were enjoying yourself too much, Lembit. That was the problem there.
Exactly, but I was working 9,200 hours a week at the same time. That wasn't reported. All I got was grief.
No, we weren't convinced. We just thought
I might have been a bit cuter with the law. I might have been a little bit more litigious with what I know now, but I wouldn't have changed my life. I'm not going to let the media run my life. And James Cleverly, I think,
just very briefly,
right,
Angela, the final word to you on this one.
I think this has turned into a prosecution of the media, and we're actually looking at how honest politicians are, and that's typical of an ex-politician spinning things accordingly. Look, I wasn't saying that James Cleverly had to say, and I've learned from it. I'm saying if he'd chosen to, he could have spun it in a way to suggest that it has somehow informed, these experiences have informed his position as an MP. He's accountable to the electorate. He's there as an elected representative. He could have said, no, and, you know, I've taken drugs, yeah, and it's made me, and it's given me a broader perspective. He chose just to say, yes, I have. That's entirely up to him. But the honesty is there, and we just reflect. We are just.
Is honesty always the best policy? We leave that question hanging in the air. Angela Lembit, thank you both very much indeed. Texter Anne has texted in on that whole business about the vote at Stormont on gay marriage. Hi, Connor. It's not a democracy when the no votes is constantly ignored until it turns into a yes vote. Five times, Connor. What next? Child brides? Thank you. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for your text. And let's get back to the final point on the whole business about the prescription charges. Kathleen, you're on. You've got 10 seconds. What's your view?
I don't understand why they can't charge £10 for each broken appointment like the dentist does.
Okay.
Normally, no, you just know you're going to pay £10 if you break your debt.
That's right, and I think that's a good idea, and a lot of people would support that. Kathleen, thank you very much indeed.